We're going to be in the 10th chapter of the book of Luke, and we'll turn over there, Luke chapter number 10. And we were in Bethany on Sunday in Sunday school. We're going to go back to Bethany for just a few moments tonight. I don't know how long it'll take us, but I just have a thought that I want to, the Lord's been dealing with my heart about, and I want to share it with you tonight and see if the Lord won't help us. And I'm smiling because years ago I preached from this passage. Now, if you have an old Scofield Bible, we're in chapter 10, but if you look up at the top of your old Scofield Bible over on the right-hand side, it'll say 11. Do you see that if you have an old Scofield Bible way up on the top? So it looks like we're in chapter 11. And I was going to preach one time out of this passage, and I was with a bunch of preachers, and I said, turn over to chapter 11. And I started reading the passage, and they were all shaking their heads, you're in the wrong chapter. And I was young and should have been a little more humble about it, but I held it up and showed it to them. I said, right there, chapter 11. But it wasn't chapter 11, it was chapter 10. So we're in chapter 10 tonight, not chapter 11, and I want to make sure we're all in the same place. And every time I read that and see that on that page, I'm reminded that the Lord knows how to humble us along the way. Amen. Now, Jesus has just finished the parable of the Good Samaritan. And then in verse 38, the Bible said this, now it came to pass, as they went, then he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I want to look at this passage for a moment or two, and as I mentioned to you Sunday morning, the Lord's been kind of dealing with my heart about these passages concerning this little town of Bethany. And I want us to think and learn a lesson here. We learned a lesson a little bit about prayer in Sunday school. But I have one word in this passage of Scripture that has sort of arrested my heart. And I want to use it as a foundation for the sermon tonight. It's found in verse 39. The Bible said, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I'm interested in this little word, also. Now, if you are an English teacher tonight, you probably could help me with my grammar. You probably could help me to understand how this word is being used in this sentence, which also sat at Jesus' feet. I looked up the Greek word behind this in my Strong's Concordance. I'm not a Greek scholar. I'm barely a Greek student. But I wanted to see what the Greek word was behind it. And it has to do with accumulation, and it has to do with addition. It's sometimes translated even. It's sometimes translated so and then and to. But it is the word also. So it's adding something on. And here in this passage, the Bible is telling us that Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Now, I'm wondering and I'm questioning my mind tonight, what would be the meaning behind this word in this text? And what I'm interested in is this business of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus while Martha is busy serving. And the Bible does not say that Martha was just busy serving. It said she was cumbered about much serving. And then Jesus will say later that she's careful and troubled in her serving. It does not seem to me that Mary is troubled at all. It does not seem to me in this passage that Mary is cumbered. It does not seem to me in this passage that Mary is careful. As a matter of fact, Jesus will say in the last verse that Mary hath chosen that good part. Now my question is, was Martha's service of no use? Was it of no value? What does this word also mean? I want to suggest three things to you quickly tonight. I will call it, first of all, that this also is a word of advancement. And it could mean tonight, I'll ask it in a question. Does this also mean that Mary had progressed beyond Martha? That all Martha knew about the Lord was he needed to be served, while Mary knew about the Lord that he wanted to be worshiped. I look at this passage and I think perhaps Martha is in a situation where she's involved in service but not submission. Perhaps she's in a situation, Martha is, where she's involved in work but not worship. Perhaps she has involved herself in a situation here where she is laboring but not loving. Perhaps she is involved in duty but she has no devotion. Perhaps she's involved in faithfulness but she has no fellowship. It would seem when we look at the passage, we are told immediately that Jesus is in Martha's house, but it appears to me that Jesus is in Mary's heart. And the first thing I think about in this passage with this word also is what sometimes happens in the church house is there are many people who have received him, but they do not reverence him. They're involved in serving him, but they have not cultivated a personal relationship with him. I think that sometimes folks get saved and they trust the Lord. They honestly get born again. They repent of their sin and they believe the gospel. But then somehow that's as far as they go. And I want to say to you that Jesus wants more of us than that. He wants us to love him. He said the greatest commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. He wants to be loved. He's looking for fellowship. I preached some years ago the Bible when God was going to bring Israel out of Egypt and Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, the Lord hath appeared unto us and he told Pharaoh that God had said to let the people go. And Pharaoh's response was, who is the Lord that I should let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. His response was gauged upon what he knew about God. And because he didn't know God, he gave the wrong response. And I think sometimes our response in our Christian life is not correct because we don't know him like we should. We haven't spent time at his feet. We haven't been sitting at the feet of the Lord. We haven't been in our Bible. We have not been fellowshipping with him. But I would submit to you that the Lord is more interested in our love than he is our labor. He is more interested in our fellowship than he is interested even in our faithfulness. He is more interested in our devotion even than he is in our duty. You say, preacher, does the Lord want me to serve him? I believe he does. But I think first of all, he wants you to love him. I believe he wants us to love him like he loved us. And the Bible said we love him because he first loved us. And here is what Mary has. She has the good part. She is in love with Jesus. I want to ask you how your devotions are. I want to ask you how your personal time with the Lord is. You say, well, preacher, I spend a lot of time doing this and I spend a lot of time doing that. But I want to know how much time do you spend with Jesus. I want to know when the last time was that he warmed your heart while you were in his presence. When is the last time you got in your Bible and the sweet Holy Ghost of God outwrote the words of Jesus upon your heart? There's a preacher said this one time. I never have quite gotten over it. It was just a little, I think just a little sidelight to what he had to say. Just a little saying that he said along the way. He said, I read my Bible and the Holy Ghost, here's what he said. He said, the Holy Ghost wrote some things in my heart that are still alive inside of me today. I'm going to tell you, I want to get in the presence of Jesus and have him speak to my heart and show me things and reveal himself unto me. I want to live like Mary and sit at the feet of Jesus. I'm wondering if this also is an addition, something added, that Mary has gone beyond where Martha is. Now I'm going to tell you something about serving. Serving is important. Serving is something we ought to do. We ought to serve the Lord. But I'll tell you what will happen. If all you have is your service, one of these days you'll run out of that. We were traveling in Mississippi, and I don't want to make fun, and I hope it don't sound like I'm making fun, but I had to chuckle a little bit because we were driving down the road, and I saw a sign for a Baptist church. And you know what the name of it was? Burnout Missionary Baptist Church. And it was because it was in the town of Burnout. But I thought to myself, and I'm not making fun of the church, but I thought to myself, that name could be appropriate in a lot of churches. Because God's people are wearing out. And you know why we're wearing out? Because we have put more emphasis on serving Him than on fellowshipping with Him. And the truth of the matter is, all of our service ought to come out of our fellowship. The time we spend with Him. Our service when we've not fellowshiped with Him is unnatural. It's not normal. It's not what God intended for us. Our service ought to be the life of Christ in us flowing out. But here is Martha. She is serving without being submitted unto Him. I think perhaps Mary has passed her by. Maybe that's what this also means. Or it could mean something else. It could be the also of advancement, or it could be the also of abandonment. Now think about it. Let's read it again. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. So here's the second thing I'm wondering about this word also. Could it mean not that Mary has passed Martha, but could it mean that this also means that at one time both of them sat at the feet of Jesus and learned of Him? But now something has caused Martha to leave the feet of Christ, and Mary is there. Perhaps it says to us that Martha has abandoned her fellowship with the Lord. Something else has taken its place. Something else has become of more importance. I can imagine if you'd have said to Martha, "Martha, why are you so busy?" She would have said, "Well, the Lord has come and He's been out there and He's been ministering and I know what He's like. He's just finished this parable of the Good Samaritan, and my Lord is like the Good Samaritan. He goes here and He goes there and He helps this one and He helps that one. And we know from the book of John that He got weary. He was a man. We know that He would get weary in well-doing. Remember in John 4, He sat down on the well because He was wearied." And she would say, "He needs rest and He needs somebody to care for Him and He needs somebody to serve Him." But she has chosen that above, perhaps above the worship of Him. Something has caused her perhaps to abandon her fellowship with Christ. Can I ask you a question? Has something got between you and your fellowship with the Lord? You're still in the church, you're in the pew, you're still serving, you're still teaching a Sunday school class, you're still singing in the choir, you're still saying to the preacher, "Preacher, if there's something that needs to be done around here, I'd be glad to do it." But there's something missing, and that missing thing is that fellowship with Christ. It's been replaced by service. You know, I think there is something in this passage that is indicative of us when we get in the position that Martha's in. The first thing the Bible said is she's cumbered. It means she's distracted. That's the word we would use for cumbered, the word distracted. She's looking in places. There are things that have taken her gaze off of Christ. Maybe she got her gaze on someone else. Maybe she looked at this. Maybe this one wronged her. Maybe that one hurt her. But it has turned her face away from Jesus. She's cumbered. She's distracted. And then she becomes critical. Look what it says. The Bible said in verse 40, look closely now, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, 'Lord, dost Thou not care?'" Would you listen to her? "Lord, You ought to care about this. Lord, don't You care?" Do you see her rebuking the Lord? She said, "Lord, don't You care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" She not only criticizes the Lord, then she commands Him. Look what she said. "Bid her, therefore, that she help me." Now, I want you to think about this. Here is a woman who has invited the Lord into her home. She's been a disciple of the Lord. I think perhaps at one time, like Mary, had sat on at his feet. But now she is critical of Him and commanding Him, telling Him what He ought to do. I tell you, it's indicative of us when our fellowship is not right with the Lord, that we become critical of what God is doing in our lives. Lord, I don't know why you let this go on. Lord, I don't know why I have to go through this. Lord, I don't know why this one happened or that happened. And then not only do we get critical of him, we get critical of others. She said, my sister hath left me to serve alone. She's critical of her sister. How come? Because she's not in fellowship with the Lord. And when your fellowship with God, your fellowship with the Lord is not right, you not only become critical of him, you become critical of everybody. You'll be the one that will say, well, there's this problem, there's that problem, and there's the other problem. There is a critical spirit that gets in our life. And then he says this to her. He says, Jesus says in verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. There's no peacefulness. I don't read that Mary's troubled. I don't read that Mary is critical. I don't read that Mary is careful. I don't read that Mary is commanding the Lord. All I see of Mary is she's sitting at his feet, enjoying what he has to say, being strengthened by the words that he said. But her sister, who has abandoned that position, who is no longer fellowshipping with him, whose devotion we might say is not what it once was, she's critical and she's commanding and she's careful and she's troubled. Her life is in an uproar because she's not where she's supposed to be with God. Someone will say, well, preacher, I tell you why I'm troubled. I'm troubled because of what so-and-so has done. I'm troubled because of what so-and-so has said. I'm troubled because so-and-so didn't live up to what they promised to be or what I expected them to be. That's exactly what Martha would say, but the problem is not with Mary. The problem is with Martha. And if Martha had sat at the feet of Jesus, she wouldn't be saying what she's saying in this passage. It is the also perhaps of advancement. It is the also perhaps of abandonment. I ask you again, what's got between you and your fellowship with the Lord? What is it? What about your prayer life? What about your time in your Bible study? What about your daily devotion with the Lord? What's got in between you and him that has caused you to be cumbered and careful and critical and troubled? I tell you, there could be peace. If we'd go back to sitting at his feet, there could be peace where there's trouble now. Do you remember what Paul said? You remember? I'll tell you this story. One time we were out in Maryland and we were driving along and we passed an Ames department store. It was going out of business. They were having a 75% off sale, and that's my kind of pricing. So I said, we'll stop in here and look around. So we went in, we looked around there in that place and looked at some things. We never did find anything. But on the way out, I noticed this box. They had tables set up and they had things sitting on the box that were left there in order to entice you to buy on impulse as you walked out the door. And so I was looking at the things on the table and I saw this box, and on the back of it, it said the Stress Buster. And I wondered what the Stress Buster was. So I went over and I turned the box around, and on the front of the box, it said the Stress Buster, and it had a picture of a punching bag with a face drawn on it. Two eyes and a nose and a mouth. And I figured out what you do is you take it home. Now, you probably wouldn't do this in your living room. You probably do it in your den or you do it in your garage. But you hang it up and you look at that face and imagine that that is the face of whoever is causing your trouble and your stress. And you just go to wailing on it. That's the world's answer to stress. But God has a stress-busting program. Did you know that? It's found in Philippians chapter 4. It goes like this: be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. Our trouble and our being cumbered and our anxiety and all that, we could point at someone and say this and that, but the problem is here. It's between us and our Lord. Problem in our fellowship. It's a problem in our worship. Here's what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. Do you remember Joseph in the Bible? Joseph said an amazing thing one day. He was brought up and stood before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh had had some dreams, and he couldn't interpret the dreams. And Joseph, the butler, when the butler and baker were in the prison, Joseph had interpreted their dreams, and the butler forgot about him. And then the butler remembered him when Pharaoh had the dream. And so they brought Joseph, who'd been sold into slavery by his brethren, lied about by Potiphar's wife, and then forgotten when he's in the prison by the butler. And they bring him up before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says to Joseph, I have heard of thee, that thou canst interpret dreams. And I think the thing that Joseph said to him is one of the most amazing things, one of the most perhaps surprising things that Joseph could have said. He said, it is not in me, O king. He said, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. You know why I think that's an amazing statement? Because Joseph has never known peace since he's a little boy. He's been lied about. He's been misused. He's been attacked. He's been imprisoned. He's been a slave. He's been a convict. His feet were put in irons, according to the book of Psalms. And yet he looks at Pharaoh and says, God will give you an answer of peace. What does Joseph know about peace? But you know what the Bible tells us about Joseph? When Potiphar's wife wanted him to commit adultery, do you remember what he said? He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And when he was in the prison and they wanted him to interpret the dream, do you remember what he said in the butler's dream of the baker? He said, do not interpretations belong unto God? And do you remember what he said? I hope you do, because I just quoted it to you. When he stood before Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, I've heard of thee that thou canst interpret dreams. And Joseph did not say, I got a pretty good record so far. He said, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And when God gave him two sons, he named one of them Ephraim and one of them Manasseh. And he said, God hath made me to forget all my labor and my toil. And God hath made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. And when his brother showed up, he said, this do and live, for I fear God. And then he said, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it unto good. And when he got ready to die, he said this. He said, I die, but God shall surely visit you and bring you up out of this land. It seems like all the time Joseph is thinking about God, he's in fellowship with God, and I would say he knew peace in situations where there was no peace because his mind was stayed upon God. So here is Martha, and it would seem to me this also might indicate that there was a time when she sat at Jesus' feet, but now her service has become more important than her Savior. One day, I believe it was Hudson Taylor, wasn't he, with the Inland China Mission? Hudson Taylor was interviewing some young men who wanted to go to the mission field. He said to them, tell me why you want to go to the mission field. And one of them said, I want to go to the mission field because God has commanded us to preach the gospel to every creature. And another one said, I want to go to the mission field because people are dying every moment without Christ and going to spend an eternity in hell. And other gave this one and this one and this one, gave all these reasons. And Hudson Taylor looked at them and he said, those are all good reasons, but none of them will keep you on the mission field. When trouble comes and difficulty comes and disappointment comes, none of those will keep you on the mission field. He said, only one thing will keep you faithful to him, and that is love. It is not my service. That's not what this is about. It's about my Savior. And my service is the result of my relationship with my Savior. There is the also of advancement, perhaps. Perhaps is the also of abandonment. And then let me say this. Perhaps it is the also of attainment. And here's what I mean by that. Look at it again. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Perhaps this word also is saying to us that Martha is serving and Mary had served and also sat at his feet. I call it the also of attainment. I wrote it this way. Does this also mean that Mary served and sat at his feet? Perhaps it is in addition to her serving. It's hard to imagine that Jesus would commend her if she never served. That it's hard for me to imagine that if she never did anything. So it occurs to me that what Mary has done is she has decided there is a time for service, but this was not the time for it. This was the time for sitting. This was not the time for putting food on the table. This was the time for feeding on spiritual food from the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps this also means that Mary has learned to do both and have them in their proper order and their proper priority. I think maybe when he says she has chosen that good part, he said this is a part of her Christian life, and this is the good part. This is the best part. This is the most important part. Yes, there'll be time for service. Yes, there'll be time to set the table. Yes, there'll be a time to clean up the dishes. Yes, there'll be a time for all of those things. There'll be a time to attend to the duties that come along with a visit from the Lord. But this was not the time. The time was now that Jesus wanted them to feed from him. He did not want to be fed. He wanted to feed. He did not want them to give him something. He wanted to give them something. And sometime I think our life is filled with this thought. I've got to give him something. I've got to give him something. I've got to give him something. Until we're frustrated with our trying to give, when the truth of the matter is, he said, I want to give you something. I want to do something for you. I want to do something in your heart. I want to give you something you don't have. I want to bless you. Sometime we're so busy trying to be a blessing to him that we miss that he has a desire to bless us. So busy trying to figure out what we're going to give him when he wants to give us something. I was reading Harry Ironside today. He told the story of a man whose wife passed away. And he had a teenage daughter. And after his wife went home to be with the Lord, he was working a job and the teenage girl would be at school. But when they came home in the evening, they ate their supper together. Then they spent every evening together. Sometimes they would play games. Sometimes he would read to her and she would read to him on other occasions. And every night they spent that time together and helping one another and just comforting one another and enjoying one another's time. And it got to be in the winter time, around November, the beginning of November. And one night after the meal, they went in the living room to sit down, and the teenage girl said, Daddy, I need to go to my room. And she went to her room and she stayed there. She stayed there till it was time to go to bed. And he went up and knocked on her door, and she came to the door, and he said, I'm going to go to the bed. She said, good night, Daddy. And he went to the bed. Next night, it was the same thing. They got done eating. She said, I need to go to my room. And she went to her room, and he sat alone down in the parlor where they had read to one another. And pretty soon, it was time to go to bed, and he came up and knocked on the door. And she came to the door, and he said, I'm going to go to bed. And she said, all right, Daddy, good night. I love you. And he said, I love you too. And he went to the bed. And night after night, same thing. She'd go to her room. He would sit down in the parlor and miss her and wish that she was there with him. Went like that through November and on, and then came time for December, and then Christmas came. And on Christmas morning, down by the tree, there was a box with her father's name on it. He had gotten her some presents, and she opened hers, and then she picked up the box and handed it to him. And he opened up the box, and in the box she had made him a beautiful pair of slippers. She'd been working very hard. She'd all of them, everything handmade. There were all kind of things involved with them, just beautifully done. And she'd made those, and that's what she was doing every night up there in that room. And he looked at those beautiful slippers, and he looked at his daughter, and he said, "These are beautiful, and I appreciate them. Truth is, I would rather have spent those evenings with you in the parlor." I wonder how often God says, I pre- appreciate what you've done, but I've missed our fellowship. I wonder how often the Lord looks at us and sees the work of our hands and appreciates our diligence. But what he really wanted was for us to spend time with him, sitting at his feet, hearing how he loves us, and receiving from him. You know what Jesus said? The disciples quoted him. How it is more blessed to give than to receive. I want to give to him. I want to serve him. I want to be faithful to him. But if it really is more blessed to give than to receive, then what would bless him is if he could give to me of himself in our times of devotion. And watch how Jesus ends this. He said, Martha, Martha, I wish I had time to preach on that, but I don't. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Now watch this. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. One of these days, my hands will not work like they do now. My mother had rheumatoid arthritis. She had it for years. The only thing that kept her fingers from, they were still bent up, but the only thing that made them the least bit usable was the medicine that she took for years. One of these days, my hands are already a little stiff. I won't be able to do what I'm doing. One of these days, I may lose my voice. I won't be able to preach. One of these days I may lose my health. I won't be able to travel and load and unload. Those things can all be taken away from me. There's one thing that cannot be taken from me. I can fellowship with him whether my hands work or not. I can fellowship with him whether my ears are working or my eyes are working or my legs are working or my throat's working. I can fellowship with him. My worship cannot be taken away from me. You love him tonight? That's what he wants. He wants us to love him. Jesus, it has interested me in this passage that Jesus, there was a gentle rebuke for Martha, but he never rebuked her until her service became in conflict with Mary's worship. And when the work that she was doing caused her to be in conflict with what Mary was doing, she was rebuked by the Lord. And I don't believe tonight there has to be a conflict between my work and my worship, but my worship I want you to bow your heads a moment, if you will. Your heads are bowed. And your eyes are closed. Have you fellowshipped with him? Have you enjoyed his presence? How is your prayer life? Your time with him in the scripture? Your private devotion? How are they tonight? How are they? There may come a time in America when we cannot meet like we're meeting tonight. They may close the doors and say, no pub. That's what they're trying to do now. They've changed it from freedom of religion to freedom of worship. They're trying to confine our Christian life to inside these four walls. That's what they're trying to do. And then one day when they get it defined that way, they'll close up the door and try and put us out of business. They can lock the church door, but I tell you what they cannot do. They cannot lock heaven's door. It is my walk with him. How's your walk with Christ? How is your relationship with him tonight? What about your devotions? Father, I pray you'll help us tonight. Help us not, Lord, to put more emphasis on the work than on the worship. Help us, Lord, to receive from you. Lord, in the Old Testament under the law, you demanded we give. But in the New Testament, under grace, you give to us. Help us to live a life of receiving. Then, Lord, you said to us, freely you have received, freely give. And I pray our lives, Lord, will have an influence on others because it'd be the love of Christ that's in us, flowing out of us. Help us to be the vessel you talked about. But Lord, we don't want to be empty. We want to be full of thee. Help us to sit at thy feet. Help us to hunger after thee as the heart panteth after the water brook. Help us, Lord. Help it to be more than just a service. Help it to be love. Work in our hearts. Fill ourselves with yourself. Please, Lord, we need you. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray.